Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 20th of July, the day we get a new Prime Minister. Andy Burnham is taking over at number 10 from Sir Keir Starmer. The former Mayor of Greater Manchester is actually the UK's seventh PM in a decade and is promising to offer breathing room over the cost of living. Now, the Makerfield MP became the leader of the Labour Party officially on Friday and visited Gravesend just hours later. He met with MPs, councillors and party supporters and was asked about supporting a campaign to restore the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry. And this is what he had to say to us.
I talked today about power being taken out of Westminster and Whitehall and placed in communities like this here in Gravesend because, you know, the Makerfield test could apply here. There could be a Gravesend test as well. You know, does a policy materially improve the place, the people's lives here? And too often Whitehall has neglected places like this, forgotten them. I just heard about a ferry service from Gravesend to Tilbury that was lost 2 years ago and not brought back. You know, why is it that people, you know, just outside of the main cities don't have basic transport to be able to live their lives? And these are the things that need fixing. And Number 10 North, based in Manchester, will be at the service of Gravesend as much as it's at the service of Makerfield. I'll drive this change. I will drive the devolution of power from Number 10 North right across this country. You know, I want all places to have more power, to do more for themselves, to reindustrialise, to build the council homes that places like this need. So you will see a significant shift of gear when it comes to the devolution of power. We know in Greater Manchester that it's the key to getting more growth. We've made Greater Manchester the fastest growing city region in the country. I want everywhere to have that same opportunity, and Number 10 North will drive it, and I will be there leading from the front.
We've also been asking Vince Maple, who's the leader of Medway Council, what he thinks about the new man at Downing Street.
Someone who has got great experience, former minister and Secretary of State, of course, has had immense experience over the last decade in Manchester. And as someone who is passionate about local and regional government, I hope he takes those positive experiences and embeds them further into the future Labour government.
Yeah, he's probably coming in at the right time, isn't he, with all these changes going on, because he knows how it works. So I guess, you know, you're going to be leaning a lot on him for guidance on that level, I guess, as to how to structure this whole thing and to make sure it works properly, because we don't want a big change and it not to work, do we?
Look, absolutely. You don't change local government structures. You don't introduce new structures, as we would be doing potentially with a mayoral combined authority, every 2 weeks. These are once in a generation. For the vast majority of Kent residents, the last time this happened was before I was born. So from that perspective, you can see it doesn't happen very often. So we do need to get it right. And I think Andy's leadership, particularly with his experience over the last decade, will add even more value as we move forward. I look forward to seeing whether we have a new Secretary of State or not. That will be a decision for him ultimately. But I've certainly enjoyed working with both Angela Rayner and Steve Reid under Keir Starmer's premiership.
Meantime, the Conservative MP for Maidstone and Morling has announced she'll stand down at the next general election. Helen Grant says it follows major surgery and treatment for cancer 2 years ago, with now feeling the right moment to pass the baton. She was first elected in 2010 when she took over from the late Anne Widdecombe.
Kent Online News.
A convicted drug dealer who sexually assaulted a woman at a Kent prison has been placed on the sex offenders register. Hamza Deli was jailed in 2022 after being found with supplies of cocaine and attacked his victim at HMP Maidstone in April 2024. The 36-year-old from Mayville Road in Leytonstone has since left jail and has been ordered to do unpaid work. A Faversham man who stalked his ex-partner and even walked into her home while she hid upstairs has avoided prison. A court heard how Thomas Boatwright Smith repeatedly called his former girlfriend after she ended their 2-year relationship. The 39-year-old from Whiting Crescent pleaded guilty and was given a suspended sentence. He's also got to do unpaid work. A mum of four who died after being hit by a lorry in Dover has been described by loved ones as sweet and charismatic. 41-year-old Sarah Gilkes passed away in hospital following the collision on the A20 on July the 9th. Her family say she saved four people through organ donation and they're now fundraising for her funeral. A 41-year-old man was arrested at the time and released while investigations continue. Now, from today, Year 13 students in Kent and those starting uni for the first time this autumn can get the first dose of a meningitis B vaccine. It's been made available following the deaths of two teenagers after an outbreak in Canterbury earlier this year. Pharmacies will be delivering the jabs, and we can hear now from Olivier Picard, who's chair of the National Pharmacy Association.
The very tragic element to all this is it's taken a few young people to tragically die of meningitis B for the NHS to turn around and decide to launch this. So I think always my heart goes to those families who have been affected. But as a community pharmacist, it makes sense to me. We are highly visible. We're on people's doorstep. We're more accessible to young people because they don't need to make an appointment. They can walk into a pharmacy. Now, whilst we need them to make an appointment for the meningitis B vaccine, they are used to coming into a pharmacy. So, yes, it's really exciting, and I feel very proud to be part of it. And I know thousands of our members have signed up to deliver the service because they feel exactly the same way. What's important to understand is the NHS have made the national booking system available for young adults to book an appointment. And that would be anyone who finished year 13 this year, born between the 1st of September 2007 and the 31st of August 2008, and who will be heading to their first year at university in September. So all these people within that date range will receive an invitation to make an appointment. The NHS is extending that offer to other students outside of that age range who are either deferred university start by a year or two or getting onto further education. And those people are unable to book and they will be asked to walk into a pharmacy. So I think we, especially in the first few days, need to be careful with the limited allocation of vaccine. But very quickly, these patients will be able to access the vaccine in their local pharmacies, provided that they have signed up to deliver the service. My message to patients is be patient, be respectful of the pharmacy teams. If you're being told that you need to come back in a few more days, it is not because the pharmacy doesn't want to give you the vaccine. It's because initially the allocation is quite limited. But hopefully those patients are able to come back quickly and will be able to receive two doses of the vaccine before they start the campaign. And it's important, that's the other message, is this is a course of two doses given at least 28 days apart. So for those who have been invited and want two doses before they join university, the advice is make an appointment quickly at a pharmacy near you.
Kent Online reports.
Security patrols are set to return to Snodland after it rejoined a project designed to tackle antisocial behaviour. As part of the Safer Neighbourhood scheme, staff from a security firm will be available to areas within Tunbridge and Morling that contribute towards the running costs. Snodland will pay £2,000 a year. Council's reversed its decision and told a couple they can now stay in temporary accommodation with their dog. The two-year-old Staffordshire Bull Terrier is a registered assistance dog and can tell if her owner is about to suffer a fit. Well, Ashford Borough Council moved the pair to Gillingham after they became homeless, but ruled the dog was for emotional support, which didn't give it the same legal status. They've now reviewed evidence and say the couple can stay. Bosses in Deal have promised to step up efforts to do something about a rundown cinema on the seafront. The Regent closed in 2008, but campaigners would like to see it brought back into use. A cross-party working group at the District Council will now be set up to explore options for the site with its owners. A Folkestone man says memories of spending time in his garden with his late wife have been ruined by overgrown trees and plants from a disused railway line. 82-year-old Alan Husk has complained about brambles and vegetation from the former Folkestone Harbour line, which was last cleared when it was put up for sale in 2019. 2019. You can see pictures within the story today at Kent Online. Network Rail has been approached for a comment. Now, an art trail in Dartford has got underway to help raise funds for a Kent hospice. 30 decorated sculptures inspired by the classic book We're Going on a Bear Hunt have been placed around the town. 50 bear cubs created by local schools have also been located in museums, libraries and shops. It'll raise money for Eleanor. John Quinn is their chief exec.
It's a fantastic day to be able to see the bear hunt come to life with a launch with hundreds of people in the centre of Dartford. It's running from today right through to the 13th of September. And it's an amazing opportunity for people across Dartford and wider to be able to see some great art, but also to be able to tell the story of hospice care and the fantastic role that Eleanor plays in our local community, providing hospice care for children, adults and families across the area.
Because of this bear hunt, I imagine one of the key aims is to get young people, children, to know more about hospice care, to break down those barriers.
Absolutely. It's a great way for us to be able to tell the story of what Eleanor does and the power of hospice care, but also what it actually means to children and the services we provide to children, to adults and to families. And it's not just about a hospice being somewhere where people go to die. It's much, much more than that. And the fantastic support that we provide to people in the home, in the hospice and beyond makes such a profound difference to so many people.
And imagine We're Going on a Bear Hunt was chosen to help inspire.
Absolutely. It was chosen to make sure that we were able to inspire so many young people and adults. We know that loads of adults remember those stories from their childhood, and it's a great way to be able to inspire so many people and tell a story, but also tell that story of hospice care and Eleanor to many more people. We got
it to about here. How many people are you expecting to get involved in this bear hunt in September?
Well, that's a really good question. Hopefully hundreds of thousands. The bear hunt is here in Dartford, but it's also at Bluewater, and Bluewater has a huge footfall throughout the summer. So hopefully hundreds of thousands of people.
And Jeremy Kite is the leader of Dartford Council.
It started with the conversation at the Civic Centre with Eleanor saying, would we be interested? We said yes immediately, and here we are now, some months later actually, having got to this point, and it's great to see the bears in place.
What will this mean for Dartford, the community, bringing people together?
Well, community is really important at Dartford, and we try to be a very different sort of council here in Dartford. For us, it's all about exciting people, civilising people, making them feel a part of a big community where things are happening. And so this was a perfect opportunity because it combines supporting a great charity, supporting great artwork, but also getting people to walk around the town and perhaps see things they haven't seen before. Dartford's an amazingly diverse place with lots of different environments and places to visit, and having a bear at each of them is a fantastic way of getting people involved.
What are some of the outcomes you're hoping that will come from this event?
Well, there's a very simple two outcomes I'm looking for. The first is cash for Eleanor. We do need to be blunt about this. Eleanor doesn't receive any state funding. They're an amazing organisation. They need to be supported. So everybody who cares about family, cares about community, please, please, please find a little bit of way of helping Eleanor through the bear hunt. And the other thing that needs to come from this, and this is crucial for us as a council, is smiles. We just want people to enjoy themselves. There's so much stuff going on in society that's kind of bearing down on people, if you pardon the pun. We just want to lift some of that and give people a smile. What's crazier than seeing 31 massive, big bears all over a town like Dartford? So that's what it's about, community, involving people. It's not about politicians and about what's going on in society and all these other ills and problems, people talking and rabbiting all the time. It's about families and friends and children enjoying themselves. That's what it's about.
Kent Online reports.
South East Water say supplies should now have returned to homes in West Kent who experienced disruption over the weekend. Up to 7,000 households in the Tunbridge Wells and Pembrey areas had low pressure or no water at all. The companies apologised after previously blaming an instrument failure at a nearby treatment works. Talks are due to take place later, which could pave the way for a new sports pavilion being built to replace an arson-hit one in Swanscombe. The facility was torched in April, 2 years after it was closed due to being in need of repairs. Dartford Council is now hoping to team up with Ebbsfleet Development Corporation to build a replacement clubhouse. Now, work to carry out essential repairs to the Guildhall in Faversham are due to get underway this autumn. A survey has found the Grade 2 listed building has a number of issues with the roof, windows, oak columns and stone plinths. It's set to cost around £250,000. A new indoor play centre for dogs has opened in Dartford. The Furry Funhouse is run by Jo Sloat, who's a former children's nurse, and she's been telling us how she came up with the idea to provide a safe space for dogs to socialise and take classes.
Years ago, I've been laughing with my friends about wanting to do a dog business. And so it kind of grew from there, really. At the beginning of the year, I just decided to let's give it a go. And here we are. I would say probably the last year, I've really done all of the research, all the necessary courses that needed to be done, doing pet first aid and the canine welfare. We eventually got secured the venue earlier this year and really went for it and pushed it forwards from there. I know that walking dogs can be difficult, either through reactivity or not wanting to socialise, you know, being nervous dogs, in season, all of those kind of things. So it's been really positive. I've had lots of positive reviews and lots of comments saying that, you know, this has been a well-needed space. I don't think, obviously, I had quite anticipated that my little idea that I came up with was going to be so well received. I'm hoping that we'll get our own little dog community as well, where everyone shares their thoughts about this place. I also would like to expand in terms of the sensory calming groups, doggy birthday parties, I've even thought about doing a doggy cinema night. So you can come and watch a film and have your dog all snuggled up here under a blanket as well. So it's just nice to have a safe, secure place where you can share time with your dog that you wouldn't necessarily do in other environments.
It opened officially earlier this month at the Base Point Business Centre, and organisers of the Canterbury Festival say they've got a bold and exciting new programme this year. The 2-week event in October will feature art displays, concerts, comedy shows and talks from authors. The first tickets go on sale today with general booking from next Monday.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and it was a narrow defeat for Gillingham in their latest pre-season friendly. They were beaten 1-0 by Charlton at Priestfield on Saturday. Here's what boss Gareth Ainsworth had to say following the final whistle against the Championship side.
Absolutely fantastic to see some of the young boys come on and get some first-team experience. You know, that's a first-team game in a pre-season friendly, and brilliant. Really, really proud of them. Me and Pete were shouting a lot to try and make sure. I didn't want them to sit back. I wanted them to go and be brave and have a go. And they did, and we had some good chances there. The first 60 worked really well. I thought we look very solid. We knew we would be out of possession today. It's Charlton Athletic. There's probably £8 to £10 million on that pitch from them. You know, they've been bought players for £2 million and £3 million, and we haven't. And that's really encouraging for me. So yeah, some nice, I think, first looks at home at Gillingham for the new signings. We've got one or two knocks, you know, Will Goodwin and Ronan Hill, they would have played today if it's a league game, with just precaution, you know, and we're working with Gareth, just ramping them up slowly. You know, we've had a couple of, on Tuesday, Daki and Armani walking off, you know, limping off, and they're going to be a couple of weeks and hopefully back for that first weekend. But I thought we did really well. We had a couple of moments. We had some cracking opportunities to maybe put the finishing touch on something. How their keeper kept that first half one out, I don't know. It's a fantastic save. And then I think Gailey just overhits across to Brolf, and then Cruz goes through at the end there. Brett Besson, you know, and we're quite happy with the way we've played against the Championship side. You know, two leagues above us. I think it's a real good showing from the boys, and like I say, there's more to come because I'm still missing a few players, and we're looking forward to it.
And there'll be another tough game for Gillingham tomorrow as they welcome Millwall. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.